one. Two, want to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and the desire in the psalm here that we sang is that we may dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? All the days of my life. I was challenged by that this morning. Is that my desire? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is that where my heart is? For a message this morning, you could turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we'll start. I too was blessed by the devotional meditation and the Sunday school discussion this morning. Some challenging thoughts and a lot of practical ways that we can live our lives in a way that are peaceable. And I was just really challenged too. Brother Ken brought out that to live peaceable lives, it requires us to give up self. That's a thought that was really going through my heart for my own self this morning. Am I willing to give up my own self for the sake of peace? On the front of your bulletins, there's a four-letter word that we're going to be looking at. It's part of the title this morning, and that word is time. And it's interesting to me how the verses on this bulletin are some of the verses that were on my thoughts and my heart this morning. Brother Clarence mentioned that today is the last day of 2023, December 31st, the last day of the year in 2023. And as I was thinking about that, 2023, what does that number represent? And we say it's AD, which is Anno Domini, I believe, in Latin. And it basically means after Christ. We have a time or a division in time through the ages that we decipher before Christ and after Christ. So 2023, if I researched it correctly, simply means 2023rd year after Christ was born. This is the 2023rd year since Christ was born, since the year Christ was born. 2023 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. I did a little research on time and found a chronological timeline, if you could say it that way, I guess, that someone studied into the scriptures and put together, and I thought it was interesting. I'm not going to break it down to the detail that they did, but they calculated how many years it was from Adam to Christ. So from Adam to the flood was about 1,656 years. And then from the flood to the time when Abraham departed from Chaldea was another 422 years and 10 days. From Abraham's departing to the Israelites departing from Egypt was another 430 years. And then from the Exodus from Egypt to the first building of the first temple was 480 years. And then from the first temple to the captivity in Babylon was 419 years. And from the captivity to the rebuilding of the temple was 70 years. They were 70 years in captivity. And then from the rebuilding of the temple, they calculated to the time of Christ was 483 years. So if we add these all together, the total sum is about 3,974 years from the time of Adam to the time of Christ. And if we add that to 2023, it makes almost 6,000 years, 5,997, I believe. As we think about this expanse of time, at least for me, it just reminded me of how short our lifespans really are, or how short our time on this earth really is. And also, along with that, how important it is to use this time that we have on earth, to use it wisely. And so my mind is going to Ephesians 5, looking at verses 16 and 17. Actually, 15 through 17. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." This is the title of the message, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. Just a little more, a few points on the characteristics of time. I have 5 points that I'd like to briefly look at. First of all, in Genesis chapter 1, it's a familiar passage of the creation. And in verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." So this is where time began. At the beginning of creation, God created the first night and day cycle, which is time. The most basic form, as we know, of measuring time is the day. We divide that into 24 hours and so on. And a year is made up of about our current year cycle is 365 and one-fourth days, which basically makes up a complete cycle of the earth's seasons. So we use years to measure the broad expanse of time, as we talked about, but still the most basic measurement is what God created from the beginning, a cycle of day and night, which is the day. Second point I have, time only moves. On point one, I missed one important thought. Time was given, created by God, and given to everyone that is here on this earth. And we should view it as a gift from God. Time was given to us by God. We don't know that length of time, and we'll look at that a little more as we go through the message. But time is a special gift that was given to us by God. And that's the way we should view it. It's God's time. Our time on earth is God's time that it was given to us. The second point, it only moves as fast as the day God created it. Sometimes when our lives are busy, the time seems to move so fast. And other times when we're waiting on something, it seems to move very, very slowly. I can remember when I was 15 and waiting for my 16th birthday. It was a slow year. It's amazing how time moves so quickly. And you just consider, where did 2023 go? 2023 is about to end, and 2024 is about to start. Where did the year go already? Where did the time go? What did I accomplish this past year? Did I redeem the time? The third point I have on the characteristics of time, it can only move forward. We can never turn it back. Did you ever wish you could rewind the time? You know, I think it's good to reflect back on time occasionally. I think that's a good thing. We can learn from our mistakes by doing that, and we can enjoy good memories. I found some old pictures that my wife had collected this morning. I was looking at them briefly from probably some of them were over 20 years ago. It was just interesting to me to see those faces that were so different back then than what they are today. And it's good to reflect back on memories. And it's good to see, reflect back on time to see where God has helped us and has worked in our lives. But I believe the challenge I want to leave this morning on this point is it's not good to live our lives constantly wishing for the past. Or wishing for the future, for that matter. I believe God wants us to make the most of the present time that we're in by redeeming the time. I think of the song that we sing different times. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. But we have this moment today. Let's make the most of the present time we're in by redeeming the time. The fourth point that I have on the characteristics of time is every person is given an allotted amount of time. Only God knows what that allotted amount of time is. Only God knows how long that span is, from the time we are born till the time that we die. God knows that number for every one of us. But it's up to us to use it wisely. The fifth point I have, time on this earth will continue until God stops it someday. If you want to turn with me back to Revelations chapter 10. There's a few verses in there. I think we'll start with verse 1 and read the whole way through verse 6. Revelations 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right hand upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. This is a vision of what will happen in the future that John wrote down for us. It's a revelation of what is going to happen. Someday, there will be no more time. Someday, the clock will stop. You know, the battery could die on that wall clock, and the hands would stop moving, and time would stop. But time would not stop. It would keep on going. But someday, everything will stop. Time will be no more, and eternity will start. And only God knows when that day will be. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Only God knows when that will be. So it's important that we redeem the time that we have been given before it's too late. Either when our time on earth is over, or when God says that time will stop. And that's it. Redeem the time. What does that mean? What does it mean to redeem the time? How do we do this? So the word redeem is often thought of as buying something back. For example, God redeems us from sin through the plan of salvation. He buys us back through the shed blood of Christ. But another definition for the word redeem that really fits this context better is to repay something or to give it back. As I mentioned earlier, God gave each one of us time, an allotted amount of time on this earth. To redeem the time is to give our time back or to repay it back to God. How can we give our time back to God? How do we do this? By using it wisely and by spending our time in a way that is pleasing to Him. And I have 5 points that I would like to consider to help us to use our time wisely, to redeem our time. The first one is by realizing the brevity of life, or how short life really is. Our life is very short. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Our life is like a shadow. It's here for a little time, and then in a moment it can fade away. In Job 7, verse 6, Job says, "Now my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." I don't know if anybody ever saw a weaving machine in operation, but there's two sets of vertical strings that are weaving in and out from each other. And every cycle, they move back and forth. There's a shuttle carrying thread horizontally back and forth through the weaving of the vertical strings. And when it's in full speed, that shuttle is going as fast as you, almost so fast that your eye can hardly follow it. Job says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." In chapter 9, verse 25, Job says, "Now my days are swifter than a post." A post is a hurrying messenger. Before we had email and all the electronic technology, we sent things through the mail. And before they had vehicles to drive the mail to various places, they used messengers, people on foot or horseback. I think of, it's interesting to study the messenger system years ago in our country called the Pony Express. And they would have a pony with a rider carrying messages, and they would stop at the next station, and the next rider was ready to take the message and kept on going, and they would travel the whole way across the country that way. The point was to get there as quickly as possible. And Job says, "My days are swifter than a post, than a hurrying messenger." In Psalm 39, verse 5, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, as wide as a hand, and mine age is as nothing before thee." In God's eyes, our lives are only a handbreadth. Our lives are very short. In James 4, verse 14, he says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it just vanishes away." Our life is like a vanishing vapor. Think of a teapot on the stove and gives out a little puff of steam, and it rises slowly and then just disappears. That's how our life is in comparison to God and to eternity. The second point I have to help us consider how to redeem the time is by giving our lives to God in the day of our youth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In Psalm 34, 11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Ephesians 6, 1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." That living long on the earth carries the thought of a full life, a life that is satisfying, a fulfilling life. If we commit our lives to God in our youth and make good use of our time, learn to do that when you're young. We will avoid a lot of regrets later in life, and our life will be satisfying or full. Jesus lets us a good example. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it talks about how his parents had looked for him at the temple, and he was talking with the teachers, and he told them he must be about his father's business. He had a bigger purpose in life, but yet it says that he went along with them, and he was subject to his parents as a youth. Even though he was the Son of God, he was subject to them. He listened to them and was obedient, I believe. Let's follow that example. The third point I have to redeem the time is by subordinating earthly duties to heavenly duties. In other words, by treating or regarding our earthly duties of lesser importance than our heavenly duties. And in 1 Corinthians 7:31, it says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." The fads and fashions do not last. In Colossians 3, verse 2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, attending to the spiritual needs of our families, helping and warning those who are struggling in sin, telling others about what Jesus has done for us and what he has done for them, lending a helping hand to those in need, praying for our brothers and sisters in the church. These are all heavenly duties that we should consider more important than our business dealings or trying to keep up with the latest technology or trying to afford the best in our material possessions. These earthly things will not last. They will pass away. Only the time we spend doing our heavenly duties will have eternal value. Let's remember that. Only the time we spend doing our heavenly duties will have eternal value. The fourth point I have in considering how to redeem the time that we have here on this earth is by serious living, by living soberly. Back to our passage in Ephesians 5. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." To walk circumspectly means to walk cautiously. or carefully, to be out on the lookout for trouble or danger, to be watchful and alert to where we're going. Our enemy, Satan, will try to trip us any way he possibly can, and he is very deceptive. He'll tempt us to waste our time just to aimlessly browse the internet or get involved in activities that take our mind away from God. So many people try to get the most out of life by fulfilling the desires of the flesh, but they can never be satisfied. There's drugs, alcohol, sports, pornography. The theme is, if it feels good, do it. Brothers and sisters, we need to guard ourselves from becoming involved in these things. We need to live seriously. I just want to add to this point that I think it was brought out. I'm trying to remember if it was this morning, but recently I heard the verse that brings out the thought that the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're called to live seriously and live soberly. But that doesn't mean we can't smile. I don't think God intended us to walk around like sour grapes, but rather like sunflowers, reflecting his light to the world around us. So let's remember that. Live seriously and live soberly, but live with joy that comes from the inside out. Along with this, I'd also like to add that redeeming the time, making the most of your time, I should say, doesn't mean we always need to be physically working. We need to spend time alone with God, praying and reading his word and meditating on it. We need time to rest our minds and bodies. And Jesus gives us some good examples of this when he was on this earth. Just a couple verses in Mark chapter 1. Verses 35 to 38, it says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out," this is Jesus, "and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. Lord, everyone's looking for you. People are looking for you." And here he was trying to spend time alone with God. And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." He said, "Let us go. Continue on." He took time in solitude to rest and to talk to God. But he didn't let that hinder him from going forward and doing, fulfilling his purpose on this earth. Just remember, it's not wasting time to sit and read the Word of God and to reflect and consider where we're going and what we're doing. The fifth point I have in helping us to redeem the time is by living a consistent example before the world. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." In 1 Peter 2, verse 12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." The challenge to me, and I'd like to leave with each one of you, is in the daily routine, in the pressures of life, at work or at home or wherever I am, does my life, my actions, my expressions, my speech, does it portray an example that is consistent with the teachings in God's Word? Am I patient in tribulation? Am I kind and courteous? Am I completely honest? Am I giving my time back to God by living for Him? Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.